Welcome to Steve Reads, the show where some of y'all done messed up and said you'd listen to me read the phone book, a box of cereal, or maybe that thigh tattoo you got with your mama's name on it. I'll read all of them, but we're going to do something different this week. In the early days of Old Gods, I was still doing quite a bit of contract voice work as my voice got out there. And a writer named Aaron Vleck hired me to bring some of their stories to life for the Wicked Library and their own personal collection. So this week, I'm going to share an early reading I did for a story Aaron wrote called Making Ends Meet. And it very much has a certain ode to old gods around it without being an old god story. So it's a little bit longer than usual, and it is a narrative, which is unusual. But frankly, family, it's been a rough week as we've had a death in our extended family, and we've been back to the home place. If you saw our live stream on Facebook the day of, and I'm just exhausted, and the idea of digging through the cupboard or breaking out old lesson plans just makes me want to crawl in a hole. So Aaron a while back gave me explicit permission to use some of the material that I've created for them, and I'm going to share that with you. So an original story by Aaron Vleck, voiced by yours truly, here on Steve Reads.
Making Ends Meet. I just finished sweeping down the front porch for the third time that day. If there's anything that puts daggers in my eyes, it's too much dirt and dust on the front porch. But what am I to do? As far as the eye can see in any direction, it's all there is, pretty much. Dust and the parched white earth that flows like the sea itself all the way to the Sierra Madres, a week's ride to the north. To the south, east, and west, it's the same or worse. I make do, though. Not complaining. Well, not exactly. I'm all alone out here and have been for a mighty long while now. I went back inside then and took stock of things. All I got here is this one big room and a loft up top where I make my bed. There's a wood stove for heat in one corner and one for cooking, such as I do, in the other. Not much more to speak of, really. Just an old sideboard, a few books, and a wobbly table and a couple of chairs. I changed my shirt and slicked back my hair and shook the dust out of it and set the pot on the fire for coffee. Then I sat down and put my feet up. That's always nice. Nobody to raise an eye or squawk when I'm not doing what they think I ought to be doing, whatever the hell that is. No, it's good living out here all alone, all by myself. Just me and the dust. The only person who ever comes this far out from town, a good day's hard ride or more, is Sheriff Roy Varick. A good man who looks in on me from time to time and even gives me odd work, couple three times a month to help me make ends meet. Good old Roy. Then I got the prickle up on the back side of the nape of my neck. Rider's coming. Well, I went out back and stood on the porch. I could hardly see that rise and swirl of white dust still a good hour away. Good thing I put that coffee on. I figured it was Roy, so there'd be work. I could tell. Too much dust for just one horse. Had to be two, Roy's and the other one. I smiled. Good to know I'd be able to make ends meet this month. So I sat back down in the rocker on my front porch and settled in to wait, wondering what Roy'd brought for me this time. When the horses finally pulled up in front of the house, I could tell they'd been ridden pretty hard. Roy looked beat tired, and the other one weren't more than a boy. But already hard, cold, and twisted mean inside without remorse on what he'd done. It was always a shame to see that, you know, in one so young. But it just can't be helped sometimes. Jacob, Roy said, tipping his hat and grinning as he jumped down off that big palomino of his. He tied the horses and dragged the other cuffed feet, hands, and mouth gagged onto the ground, and then dragged him to his feet. Roy? I said, waiting to hear more. You got coffee? You gotta ask. Just made it as it happens. Just for you, Roy. He snorted and nodded his gratitude as he took his hat and slapped the dust off himself and the kid. "I'll take the horses out back and get them watered and cooled down. You go on inside and help yourself. There's bread and cake on the sideboard, and some bacon that might still be good." "Much obliged," he said, and I could hear in his voice he was tired, and something more. Angry, maybe. More than usual. I chuckled, thinking on that mouth gag. Kid must have been yapping at the mouth. Roy didn't like that kind of thing. He always was a quiet man. A thinking man, to be sure. But kept most of it close to his chest like a hand of cards. I got the horses watered and put them in the barn with a bag of oats. A gift from Roy from the last time or the time before when he came out my way. I could see they was pleased, such fine, beautiful beasts as they were, too. Raised Palomino and the other, a fine bay filly with a full white blaze. I stood there a bit, rubbing my hand along their backs, them nickering all the while and nuzzling my neck. I've always had a way with animals. They like me and I like them. It was the other ones, like that boy in there, that I had other feelings on.
"So you found everything?"
I said, getting back inside, smiling with satisfaction at the easy comfort Roy showed in my house, helping himself to what was there and knowing without asking where everything was hid.
"Yes, sir. And you be well, I suppose."
"Oh, yeah, you know me, Roy. Always the same. What's the change out here?"
"You need anything, you let me know now, here."
"Everything's fine. But what you got here?" I asked, gesturing with a shake of my head at the boy who sat sullenly, still cuffed hand and foot at the table. The gag had been removed, and the boy glowered at me while he sipped his coffee and stuffed cake in his mouth like he ain't ate in a week.
"What are we doing out here, old Roy? Where are you taking me?" the kid bellowed, rising a half up out of his seat like there was some place to go.
"Well, Johnny, you see, it's like this," Roy began, tossing me a glance and cracking his knuckles and flexing them before knocking the kid back into his chair. "I only got 2 cells in my jail, and they're full up, so I got to stash you someplace. Your mother, too? Hell, we got proper trials all set up for them boys. Their path is clear. We got witnesses to their misdeeds, and we got confessions all cut, dried, and sewed up as neat as a pin. But you, Johnny, well, we got nothing concrete to go on. Nothing that makes you good for all them other murders, just that we know you did it. You know how you can just tell? How you can just read it on a man like it's tattooed across his forehead. So, well, we don't know what to do with you. Figured it was easier to stash you out here at Jacob's place a million miles from nowhere. Just put you on ice, so to speak, till we can figure things out. Or you decide to grow a pair and own up to your own misdeeds and take your justice like a man," Roy said, swirling his coffee, watching the ground settle.
"Well, that's plain crazy, Sheriff," the kid bellowed. "You mean to just leave me out here, this old geezer, with 1 foot in the grave?"
Roy yowled like a stuck pig and then calmed himself and looked at the kid, shaking his head the while. "Jacob's not the one with the foot in the grave, son." "That's you," he roared again. "But I best be getting back. I started before sunup, and I'll ride through most of the night. I thank you kindly, Jacob. I'll be back in a few days to check on things," he added, slapping his hat back on his head and gathering up the package of food I'd set aside for him for the trail. And then he was out the door and shut it firm behind him. The sound of the iron bar dropping down over the door on the outside made the kid almost jump out of his hide.
"What the hell? You mean we're locked in here?"
"Suppose so," I said, refilling my coffee cup. "You want any?"
"No, I warn you, old man, I'm gonna bust out of here. You got horses out back?"
"No, no horses here. And Roy took the one you rode in on back to town with him. No way out of here. It's a day's ride to town, as you saw, and twice that or more the other way as far as anything worth getting to. May as well get used to it. Johnny, is it? You're stuck here," I said, and the kid stomped his cuffed feet in rage. "No reason we can't pass the time. So why don't you tell me about yourself?
I said, grinning and trying to act all friendly. We got 3 days till Roy comes back and nothing to do but get to know each other a bit. Or you can sit there and sulk in silence, thinking back on the deeds that got you here. Your call, Johnny. You let me know what you decide. I said, tinkering around in my kitchen such as it was, cleaning up. But you're locked in here same as me, he yelled out. Why'd you let him do that? Ain't you afraid? Oh, I ain't afraid, I said it, and it was the truth. Well, you got water in here. Water for 3 days for the two of us and all our needs? The kid asked, blanching with realization. Don't you worry, I got water in here from my well out back. Damn good well, do. And a miracle, if you ask me. Sweetest water you ever tasted. Oh, hell, he groaned. Okay, what's your story then? You first, being the guest and all, I said. After all, this was my job, looking after the folks Roy brought me, and I take my job very seriously, doing the best I can. I saw the kid fussing with the handcuffs under the table, seeing if a bit of wiggling around, he could pull himself free. I shook my head. It was always like this. No use, Johnny. Best gets talking. Why don't you start by telling me why you're here? What do they say you did? Said I killed me 9 to 15 people. Some of them nothing but kids, he snorted. And it was hard to tell if it was with revulsion or something else. Something more akin to pride, maybe. All at once, you know, or like one at a time. One at a time, of course, he bellowed and looked at me like I was a damn fool. Well, did you? I pressed, but he just glared at me. No, he muttered under his breath after a long pause, still refused to look at me, but his breathing picked up a bit and he opened his mouth and licked his lips, and I smiled. Tell me, Johnny, I said, my voice dropping almost to a whisper. You get the blood urge, don't you? Comes on you all at once. No warning or nothing, am I right? I asked, my voice now low and kind of conspiratorial in its tone. He shot me a glance like he was a scared rabbit in a sprung trap. No, he hissed, but it had a hollow ring to it, like he didn't quite mean it. Yes, I said, grinning. I can see it on you, boy. You're not like other folks, and they'll never understand that. Am I right? Well, maybe you got that right. Not even my ma and pa wanted anything to do with me after a while. I mean, I'd seen pa kill chickens 100 times, but when I killed them, well, they threw me out. I was just trying to help, damn them. Said I liked it too much. Said I was acting strange, if you can imagine such a thing. He replied, pounding the table with his cuffed fists. I understand, Johnny. Damn fools. They should have let you be, set you up butchering cows and such, so you could put your skills to doing a man's work, useful work, and not have to move beyond, you know? Johnny just smiled at me like he was a little kid, and I was his pa, all trusting-like. I understood him all right. First time in his life somebody understood him and saw him for what he was. He killed because he had a need he couldn't just put aside. So tell me about them girls then, and the other ones too. How many was there, did you say? I asked like I was inquiring how many taters were left in the sack. Well, if you're sure, old man, Johnny said, his voice all meek now for the first time, I'm sure, son, go ahead. It'll do you good to get it off your chest to someone who understands, who knows what you're going through, I purred, nodding my head and encouraging him. Well, okay, see, there was 19, all told, from the beginning, he said and licked his lips again, taking a big gulp of air. The first time I was in Dandy's place all night, staggering home pissed drunk when I saw this open window, curtains flapping in the breeze, and this little angel sleeping in her bed. And before I knew what come over me, I was back home in my bunk, blood on my hands and clothes soaked in it and my head pounding about ready to bust wide open. I said softly. Go on. Well, it only took a day before I figured out what happened, hearing the outrage and chatter in town over it, but nobody suspected me. So I breathed a sigh of relief. I got away with it. I'd got clean away with it, and nobody was the wiser. So I hightailed it out of there, Johnny said, grinning like a kid on Christmas Eve.
I see. Yeah, that sounds about right. I've heard this kind of thing before. Folks like you. Seems pretty natural in a way when you look at it like that. You do what comes natural, just like anybody would.
Yes, sir. So after that, it just got easier and easier. I went on for a good 2 to 3 more years like that, going from town to town and moving on, keeping myself low and quiet-like, coming into town after dark so nobody know me enough to put things together, just do my business and ride out.
What happened, Johnny?
Then I come to this accursed town where your pal, old Sheriff Roy Varick, had been keeping tabs on the killings and even had himself a big old map with pins stuck in all the spots where there had been killings, all the places I passed through. I figured maybe he must have been waiting for me. Sure he was. Waiting for whoever I happened to be. I hadn't been to that town yet. But when I got there, they had some posse set up, and all the houses where there was kids, widows, or some broken-down old geezer on his own had themselves some guardian angel with a Winchester on his knee aimed at the winder, sitting vigil till sun up. That night I rode into town after dark, as was my custom. Figured I'd do my business and be gone before anybody ever laid eyes on me. But no, that was not to be. Soon as I crawled in that winder, I was grabbed by the neck and slammed to the floor like a calf on Brandon Day with the butt of the rifle to the head and then dragged half senseless to the sheriff. But things were strange somehow. He didn't arrest me, didn't charge me with nothing, didn't even ask me about any crimes, just gagged me, cuffed me to his outhouse where I lay there like a dog in the mud for the rest of the night. I mean, he had me, sure he did, but he never did arrest me or try to prove nothing, and next morning we lit out for here, and I got no damn idea why.
Well, you gotta pay for your crimes, Johnny, one way or the other. The fact you set up a plan for the killing, you was real clever to set out a way not to get caught. That shows you got no shame in your deeds. You know that, right?
No, I don't. Hell no, I don't. It's just my way. You's right about that. The way I see it, though, old Sheriff Roy wasn't so smart after all. What the hell made him bring me out here, guarded by some ancient codger limping around a dilapidated old shack? I'm not staying put here, fella. Jacob, or whatever your name is, you gotta see that. And beg pardon for saying, but you got that fine Winchester sitting right there. But I'm a third your age, and even with these cuffs on, I could put you down before you could even make a go for it. I don't want to hurt you. You've been awful nice to me, all things considered, but I mean, I have to have my freedom at all costs. He sat there for a moment like he thought we were at some kind of stalemate.
Johnny, didn't you tell me Roy never arrested you? Never took nothing down on you, not even your full name, nothing?
That's right. Damn sloppy fool by my reckoning.
No, I said with a whisper, and not without a drop of pity. Roy's no fool. And he's never known a sloppy moment in his life. And here's the thing you got to understand. Roy and me, we got this arrangement, see? I ain't got much out here. And frankly, I don't need much to keep me going, just a little bit to make ends meet each month, besides a few taters I grow out back in my chickens. So Roy, he brings me work now and then. Work he can't rightly handle on his own in town through the usual means, and it helps me to make my ends meet, as I say. I explained, smiling and feeling that delicious tingle in my body clear down to my toes whenever I start going in my way. It was starting, sure enough, and soon Johnny would see exactly what I meant. My body started stretching out long, getting longer and longer, faster and faster. Then my head
burst into that horned and fanged crown that was my glory, and my feet did the same and popped a head of the like out of them too, and there I was, all 20 foot of my magnificent two-headed, scaled and dripping gore mass of splendor and hunger. Johnny just started screaming and bellowing, trying to bust free of the shackles that bound him to the table, but hell, I figure he'd gone mad long before I even turned to look at him, vomiting all over himself and filling the air with his stink. And then I spun around, two heads coming together onto Johnny's body in the middle, making ends meet and taking him whole in one gulp. And tearing him clean in two and gobbling him down, each mouth getting its fair share. The blood flowed everywhere, thick and sweet, and it was so very, very good. I couldn't rightly decide, and never could really, which I found more to my liking in these boys, all the blood and the good-eating fat and gore, or the look of terror and something else when they looked into my eyes, you know, toward the end. And saw only their own face looking back at them in my black eyes, reminding them of what they'd done to all those other folks who'd never done them a lick of harm. I finished that boy off. And then I licked myself clean and curled up in a coil on the kitchen floor and took a long, long nap, which was my way. Plenty of time to sleep through tomorrow even. And plenty of time to clean things up before Sheriff Roy came back to look in on me and see that I was all right. But then he knew I would be. He's such a nice fella, that Roy Varick, I thought to myself, smiling and drifting off into those dreams I get, dreams of other things and other places. Already a hunger building up in me for what Sheriff Roy Varick would bring out from town next time he came to call.